A dear, dear friend of mine, preacher brother of mine, I know him longer than I know anybody else, Bruce Crabtree. His father died last year. Bruce would go down and stay with him for days at a time, talk with him, take care of him. And Bruce would always witness to him about the righteousness of Christ, facing God only in the righteousness of Christ. Well, the old man got ready to die. He's in his 90s. And Bruce, you know, talks to Dad, you don't want to go into eternity with your own righteousness. You got to face God only in the righteousness of Christ. And he'd preach the gospel to him over and over. And then he got ready to die, and he says, Dad, can you trust Christ? Well, he said, I'd be scared to death to face God with just Him, without something of my own. And that's the last thing. He's scared to death to face God without something of my own. I'm scared to death to face God. I'm scared. I hate to stand here and face God with anything I'm on right this moment. Yeah. Some people say they've got a weak spot. Well, I ain't got no strong spot.
No, sir.
I'm weak on my right, on my left, behind me, in front of me, on top of me, and the bottom of me. There's no strength in me anywhere. So one fellow said, God, take care of my blind spot. I'm blind all the way around. He's got to take care of it all. Don't he, Hashem? You've got to take care of it all. If he don't, what are we going to do? What part did he leave undone that we'd have to do? Don't want to do that. Well, I'm going to read the first 10 verses here and talk about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Make a few comments about it. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear great spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendant of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices of very great store and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. Well, it's obvious when I read that, I'm sure that many of you all seen the gospel, seen our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord Jesus, one day the fellows was looking at the lilies of the field, and they said, oh, how pretty they are, how beautiful they are. And our Lord says, they neither toil nor spin, they don't do anything at all. And the Father dresses them. And then they've got greater glory than Solomon ever had. He said, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And then he told about the judgment. He said, the queen of Sheba shall arise, the queen of the south shall arise, and condemn this generation. The people he was preaching to, the Jewish nation, said she'll condemn these people because she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And that's what if we got to see the greater Solomon right here. Now here's this queen of Sheba, this queen of the south. She came to Solomon. And what did she come for? Well, first of all, she came because of what she heard. And that's what you come for. You come because you hear. If you come to Solomon, if you come to Christ, you come because you hear. And that's what she heard. It says here, and when the queen of Sheba, verse 1, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. She heard of his fame. She heard of his glory. She heard of his power. She heard of his majesty. And beloved, that's what the scripture said. How then shall you call on him of whom you not heard? How shall he hear of him without a preacher? You know, so many people, they get folks to the front to accept Jesus and they don't have no clue who he is. But here she heard the fame of him. What kind did she hear? Well, first of all, she heard the fame of his power. And she said she heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. You see, that's where the power comes from, the name of the Lord, the authority of Christ. That's where God gave Christ all of his authority. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And it's the nearness to the name, it's the nearness to God, it's the oneness with the Father that gave Christ all of his power and all of his glory. He says, you know, I do always those things which pleased my Father. And our Father said to him, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And you know, I came down from heaven not to speak of myself, but to speak of him. And that's why she heard of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. He knows God. He knows God. I'm going to go over there because he knows the Lord. And oh, that's what our Lord Jesus, he's got his glory. It was because God sent him into this world. God gave him the authority. God gave him the power. God gave him the glory. God said, if you're going to do business with me, you're going to come to him. And then look here, not only that, but the fame of his wealth. Look down verse 21. She heard of the fame of his wealth, the fame of his riches. And all of King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all of the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None of it was silver. And it was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Everything he had is made out of gold. And oh my, the fame of his riches. And guess what we get to talk about? Guess what we have? We have the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. How rich is our Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you how rich he is. He has been supplying his people out of his storehouse from Adam all the way to today until the day of the end of his coming. And he's got as much today as he had when he started. And when we get to eternity, he'll have just as much as he did from the day he made this earth till it comes to an end. He's wealthy. He's taken out of his store, and he's just as wealthy as he was when he started. He just gives out handfuls, 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 and he's as wealthy now as he was when he started. I was at a funeral the other day, and this fellow said, I thought this preacher and his wife would be there. And I said, but you know, said they got lots and lots of money now. Their daddy left them, they're millionaires. He said, I guess they're out taking care of their investments. And there, you know, I said, well, I said, I've got a heap sight better inheritance than they got. All their daddy could leave them was money. Christ has gave me, God gave me the riches of Christ in his glory. The wealth of his power, the wealth of his love, the wealth of his grace, the wealth of his justification. Everything that God has, he has just blessed us abundantly. That's what he called abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in Ephesians 2, it talks about the exceeding riches of his grace. That means more than enough. Huh? In him, in Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that God is dwells in him. No wonder that's all we need, Milton. And then not only does she hear the fame, and you hear, you got to hear. Got to hear. You got to hear the fame of his power. Hear the fame of his wealth. And oh, beloved, the fame of his wisdom. Look down in verse 6. And she said to the king, it's a true report that I heard in mine own land of the acts, of thy acts, and of thy wisdom. The fame of his wisdom. And look down in verse 24. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God put in his heart. And oh, beloved, listen. You know where the wisdom of God dwells? In the Lord Jesus Christ. To them which are called, Christ is the power and wisdom of God. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the wisdom of God and how God can be just and justifier of them that believe. Oh, the wisdom of God to make a world and sustain it. But you read it this morning, quoted it this morning. That everything that God, that the wisdom of this world and all how sustained and all that it goes on, that God made it by Christ. Christ is the creator of this. And the wisdom that went into creation. The wisdom that God made in this world and the wisdom that God made in saving sinners like us. How that the bar of justice called us all to stand forth. Give an account of yourself. Give an account of your sin. Give an account of your thoughts. Give an account of your heart. And God in wisdom said, well, truth and justice must win out. I must damn that man. I must punish that man. But love and mercy and grace and wisdom stood up and said, I know a way whereby I can stay true to justice and truth and righteousness and save that sinner and punish him and slay him for his sin. And it was Emmanuel himself shall stand up and I'll accept him and I'll accept his righteousness. I'll accept his power. I'll accept his death. I'll accept everything he gives and I'll take him and I'll slay him in their place. And I'll charge my sin to their account. And I'll take his righteousness and put it on their account. And so they are punished. They are slain. And they all have life at the same time. And all the wisdom of God in Christ. Oh, bless his holy name. I mean, beloved, standing now in the very presence of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ in his infinite wisdom. That God can stay true to himself and his glory, stay true to his righteousness, stay true to his truth, and yet at the same time magnifies grace, magnifies justice, magnifies love, magnifies power, magnifies glory in saving sinners like us and making us stand before him without any sin whatsoever. Oh, bless him. I never get over this. I never get over this. I never have got over this yet. How that I have not got by with one sin I've committed. I have been punished for every single one of them. I have suffered death for every single one of them. God has poured out his wrath on me for every single one of them. I have suffered separation from God for every single one of them. Sins that I don't even know that I've ever committed because I'm ignorant of them. Sins so part and parcel of me that I don't even know I'm committing them at times. But every one of them's been done. Where at? In Christ. Now, oh, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. I ain't getting by. And now, I've got the very righteousness of God Himself. Oh, you see, she heard of His wisdom. Heard of His wisdom. And listen, God made Christ unto us wisdom. You know what that... you fellas tell me if I'm wrong. You preachers tell me if I'm wrong. But when I see there that Christ has made unto us wisdom, to me that means that how am I going to know God? How am I going to know Him in His attributes? How am I going to understand this Bible? How am I going to understand myself? How am I going to understand the wisdom of God? How am I going to understand the Scriptures? How am I going to understand my own heart? And Christ has made unto me wisdom by whereby I can know something about God. Have a spiritual grasp of God. Have a spiritual understanding of spiritual things. Christ has made unto me wisdom where I can have some of the sense of God and His Scriptures. And myself, and the nature and character of God. Christ hadn't been made wisdom to me, I wouldn't know straight down falling out of a tree. And you wouldn't either. Ain't that right? Now, so she, what she heard, let's look what she did. And it says there that when the Queen of Sheba, verse 1, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem. And down in with very great train, bare spices, and was precious. And when she was come to Solomon, she's come to Solomon. See, she heard about him. She said, I want to go. I want to go see this man. I want to go hear this man. I want to go sit at his feet. I want to go. And see, she didn't make light of it. She said, well, I've heard about him. Oh, he's no doubt a wonderful man. He's no doubt a powerful man. He's no doubt a wise man. And she didn't make light of it. She said, I'm going to get up and go. I want to go. I want to see for myself. I want to hear for myself. I want to talk with him myself. I want to sit at his feet myself. She wasn't like Felix. He wasn't like Felix when Felix told Paul, said, you know, depart from me and I'll bring you to more convenient season and listen to what you got to say. She said, I want to go and hear for myself. Huh? She didn't postpone it. And then look what it says back up there in verse. She came to prove him with hard questions. Hard questions. That's some hard questions to answer in this world. I'll tell you that there's a lot of questions in the Bible. Lots of questions. And our God asked the first one. Adam, where are you? And when God asks questions and Christ asks questions, he does not ask for information. He asks questions to give us information. To let us know something. But he asked the question in Job chapter 9. He said, how can a man be just with God? That's a good question. How can a man be just with God? The heavens are not pure in his sight. Behold, the moon and stars, they don't even shine. And oh, here's another hard question. When a man dies, shall he live again? Oh, Well, that's a good question, ain't it? And when our Lord went to Nicodemus, says, you must be born again. The first thing old Nicodemus said, how can a man, when he's old, be born again? How can it be? My father lost 75 years old before he ever got converted. How would he be born again? Is he going to be like Nicodemus? I'll get in my mother's womb and start all over again. He said, if you do that, you're going to be just like he was the first time. It won't you come out with the wrong nature. So you must have a new nature. You must be born again. You must be made spiritual. And in the new birth, God takes and brings into existence a person who never existed before. He makes a new creature. He created in Christ Jesus. Only God can create. And you must be born of the Spirit. And you know, beloved, that this idea, you know, that a person's made a... You know as well as I do, did you ever have a problem with sin until you got the new nature? Did you ever have any problem with sin? Now your thoughts become evil to you. Huh? Your eyes become evil to you. Your feelings become evil to you. I never had any problem with my thoughts and feelings before I got converted. Oh, no. And oh, but I was in, he brings, and as she came with this, how can a man be born? How can it be born again? Oh, and then what about this question? When the angel came to Mary and says, you know, you're going to have a son. The Holy Ghost will come on you, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. She said, how can these things be? I've never known a man. So, all of me come with all these hard questions. And oh, beloved, and she came to him. She didn't just think of him. And you know why she came to him? And you know why if anybody else comes to him? Oh, let the Father give me. And they shall all come to me. Huh? In the day of his power, the day of what power? The day that you hear of him, in the day of his power, he makes his people willing. And they come to him, beloved. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh, come unto me, our Savior said. Come unto me. You want to know the Father? You got to come to me. And oh, listen. If any man's thirsty, in that last day, that great day of the feast, if any man's thirsty, let him come to me. And then it says there in verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem, in the last part of the verse, when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him. She communed with him. What did she do? She told him all her heart. Told him all her heart.
Ain't that what we do when we come to Him? We just lay our hearts bare. Nothing's hid from Him. We just lay our heart bare. She poured out her heart to Him. She told her all that was in her heart. Told her all that was in her soul. And beloved, that's what we do. We come to Christ. And when we come to Him, our hearts are just laid open before Him. Everything about us is just open with Him. We just pour out our hearts. And there's an old preacher used to say, he says, God does not send honest men to hell. And He doesn't. And God makes you honest. When she sat before Solomon, she understood Solomon and all of his wisdom and all of his power, that he saw right into her heart. And that's what Christ does. He sees into her heart. And we lay it bare. We tell Him all our heart. In fact, once we start ever telling Him all that's in our heart, He's the only one we'll ever tell Him all that's in our heart. I wouldn't think about telling you what's in my heart. I wouldn't tell my wife what's in my heart. But I'd tell Him everything that's in my heart. And that's so assuring to me that God knows me. I'm just as transparent to Him as a clear glass sitting right up here right now. And you know, and there it is, Lord. Lay it out. Lay it out. And look what it says down here now in verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. He answers your questions. How are you going to be just? He'll answer that question for you. Will a man live again? He'll answer that question for you. He that believeth in me shall never die. Huh? How can a man be born again? You come to Him. And well, listen, you won't come to Him till He gives you the new birth. He's got to give you the faith. He's got to give you... You won't ever call on Him till He gives you that new birth. Huh? When a baby's born, first thing it does is cry. Already had life, but the life, the crying out is what gives evidence of its life. And when Christ gives you life, you start crying out to Him. Have mercy on me. Look at my heart. Oh, God is so wicked. Take my heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. Oh, and the King hid nothing from her. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He answers these questions and He opens her heart. And He keeps back nothing of Himself concerning Himself. He lets us know Himself. Oh, bless His holy name. Now, let me look at what she did. Look what she saw when she got there. She came to Him. She heard about Him. She came to Him. All these questions. He told her heart. He told her and answered all of her heart. Look what she saw. First thing she saw in verse 4. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom. Saw his wisdom. You know, a fellow told me years and years ago, if you'll ever see Christ as the wisdom of God, you'll understand the gospel. You'll understand the gospel. She saw His wisdom. She saw the wisdom of God. She saw the wisdom and glory of God in Him. And she saw all of that infinite wisdom. She saw the wisdom of God of salvation that amazed her and that still amazes us today. I'm still utterly and absolutely amazed. When God first taught me the gospel years ago, the first 2 years, all I'd done was, that's all I preached on. How can we be just with God? How can we be just with God? That's all I could think about. How can I be just with God? I sit on my porch and all I could see is my sinful. How can I be just with God? How can God accept me? How can God have any dealings with me? How can God look in my direction? How can God speak to me? How can God have anything to do with me? And the only answer is Christ. That's the only answer. You know, He chose me in Christ. Didn't He? Before the foundation of the world. He loved me in Christ. And in love He predestinated me so that I'd be one of His children. And why did He do it? Because it was according to His own good pleasure. And He made me accepted in the Beloved. Made me redeemed in His blessed Son. And all this salvation amazes us. Those who have come to Christ, those who have sat at the Lord's feet, it's just amazing. Never get over it. Never get over it. The word grace. Have you ever got over that word grace? Grace. Grace. Nothing in us. Grace. Nothing we do. Grace. Nothing we think. Grace. Nothing we feel. Grace. Everything's by grace. Grace is in Christ. We never ever want earn the first blessing from God Almighty. Not the first time. We've never earned and never will earn a blessing from God. If God blesses us for Christ's sake. You say, well, you if you don't pray, you won't bless. I'll tell you what. If there's ever anything that keeps God from blessing you, that means that there's something wrong with you or something right with you. And there ain't nothing about you that causes God to ever do anything for you or me. He does it strictly for Christ's sake. And one of the preachers preached last Sunday morning of our meeting, Greg M. Quest, and he was preaching out of Zephaniah, and he said he loved to sing over you and rejoice over you, and he loved you. He said, he made this statement. He said, we sometimes feel like God just puts up with us, endures us for Christ's sake. But no, he said, that's not the way it is. He said, God loves us. He loves loving us. Oh, I could never got him. He loves loving us. He's not just putting up with us. He's not just endearing us. He's not holding his nose. You know, he said, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Why? Because they're not there. You can't remember something that ain't there. Something never has gone. Oh, my. And then not only she see wisdom, look down here in verse 4. And she saw the house that he had built. Oh, you mentioned it a minute ago, the house. This is a church building. We're the house of God. You know, Moses was a faithful servant over his house. But he was just a servant in the house. Christ is the Son over the house, whose house we are. And a house means everybody involved in that house. The servants and the sons and everybody. That means the genealogy. That means the progenity. That means all the people that come from that house. And we're the house of Christ. Huh? Look with me over in Ephesians 2. Look in Ephesians 2. Oh, here's where we're at. This is where we're at. Oh, we're a spiritual house. Amen. Spiritual house. Spiritual building. And we offer spiritual sacrifices made acceptable to God in Christ. Don dealt with that so well last night. Spiritual altar. Spiritual sacrifices. But here in verse 19, look what it says. Ephesians 2. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And that means on what they taught, on what they preached, upon the doctrine that God gave them. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief corner, in whom all the building in Christ fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All of us believers here right now, we're just a building of God, and God dwells in this building. You know, and it always amazed me when somebody's getting ready to build a house or something, they'll bring a 3 or 4 bundles of 2x4s and 2x6s, lay them down there, 3 or 4 bundles of wafer board, and they'll lay it all down there. And somebody'll take all that stuff and they'll take all that in those big piles, and in a little while, them piles will be gone. There'll be a house here. They took a pile of nothing there, you know, something that just a pile of lumber. Now how are they going to take all that and turn it into something like this? Well, that's what God done. He took all that Build him a house, and me and you are that house. We're of that household. That household. And oh, beloved, let me show you something else you saw back over here. I don't know how long I've gone here, but I'll... Not only did she see his house, but she saw his table. Look down here in verse 5. And she saw the house that he built and the meat of his table. Oh my, what, when he sets a table, whoa, what a table he sets. he sets the table, you know, he sets this wonderful table right in the middle of it. You just, right in the middle of it sets Christ. And all that's in him. There's his righteousness. There's his wisdom. There's his glory. There's his love. There's his justification. There's his forgiveness. There's his long-suffering. There's his patience. There's his election. There's his power. There's his compassion. There's his mercy. And all the tables set with all of these wonderful things. And we just sit and just enjoy them. Eat them. And oh, and not only did she see his table, and look what it says, she saw his provision. That's his provision. And oh, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Folks, you know, in Pentecostalism and all that, they ask if you got the second blessing yet. I got them all. Got them all. Got them all at one time. You know, but he just doles them out to me as I need them. Oh, John Bunyan said he has bags of mercy yet unbroken. And then look what else you saw. In the setting of his servants. She saw his servants. Look how his servants are. They're sitting. Who ever heard a servant sitting? The master does everything in this house. And that's what you know when it talks about resting in Christ. That's what it means. It means reposing. It means reposing. And everybody has got every one of you men's got an easy chair, don't you? Every single one of you's got one. Most of them's got a footstool in them. You just push a button and the footstool comes out. And when you get in that thing, you don't want to be bothered. When I get in mine, my wife said, "Can I bring you anything?" Because she knows I'm not getting out. And here we are. This is what it means to be in Christ. Repose yourself. He that has ceased from his labors has entered into his rest. Christ ceased from his labor. He sits at God's right hand. And if he finished the work, then I'm going to sit down and rest in him. And that's why we're preaching all the time, ain't we, Don? Quit working. Rest. Stop. Don't do nothing. Well, I need to come to the front. No, you need to come to Christ. I need to get on altar. Christ is your altar. I need to have a feeling. You need Christ. I need to do something. No, you don't need to do nothing, but in your heart and soul said, "Oh, I'm coming to him who is everything." Them preachers told me that he did it all. And I'm going to stop working, and Lord, here I go. I'm going to fall back. And if you don't catch me, I'm going to perish. But just as the minute you fall, he'll catch you. He'll never let you fall. And that's what we do. We throw ourselves on him. And oh, we're setting. Oh, my. Oh, my. We're setting. She saw him setting. And then look what else it said here. And she saw their apparel. Saw how they was dressed. Oh, they didn't have on butler's apparel. No. They had the king, you know, when Solomon dresses his servants, they got the best clothes on. He's the one with the king's robe, but oh my, we have got the best robe. Oh, son, come here. Take the best robe. And you know what it says there when that prodigal come home? Take the best robe and put it on him. Put it on him. They didn't say, "Stick your arms out here and see if it's going to fit." Put it on him. Put it on him. Then it says, put shoes on. He didn't have to do nothing but stand there and be dressed. And that's what Solomon put, dressed them. And Christ dresses us. Where God Himself can look at us. Listen, who is He that condemneth? We can face angels, face the holiness of God. We can face the law. We can face anything. We can face the devil. We can face our conscience. We can face the Word. And absolutely nothing can find a spot or flaw in our dress. Huh? Can't do it. Can't do it. Oh my, not only that, but look what this says down here in verse 8. They got to continually hear His wisdom. And it says here in verse 8, happy are thy men. Oh, ain't you happy? That word happy means blessed. I'm happy as if I had good sense. Happy are these thy servants. Watch this. Standing continually before thee, and oh, they get to hear your voice, get to hear what you got to say. And over in 1 Kings 3:9, it says there that God gave him an understanding heart, and that means He gave him a hearing heart. Oh, God, give us a hearing heart. Give us a hearing heart. And oh, and their pleasure, they were so happy. It says, they happy are you. And you know, happy is the people that has the God of Jacob. Is there God? Who is the God of Jacob? First of all, He's the God who lays hold on you. Jacob was asleep that night, wasn't he? And a man, it said, a man came and laid hold on him. And He's the God of Jacob. He's the one who comes to get you. He's the one who lays hold on you. And He's the one, once you He gets a hold of you, says, oh, you got, I'm not turning loose till you bless me. And then when He turns loose, He gives you a new name that nobody knows but you and Him. And then not only after He does that, He changes the way you walk. Ain't that right? You walk different after that. You walk different. He walked, you know, you could tell that, oh, He wasn't a supplanter. He wasn't a deceiver anymore. He had a new name, Israel. Israel, Prince with God. These people are happy. They're happy. And then look what else you saw about Him there in verse 5. Not only does she see the attendance of His ministers, the setting of His servants and their apparel, but His ascent by which He went up into the house of the Lord. She saw the way that He ascended. She saw the way that He carried Himself. And beloved, you know, when those apostles stood outside Jerusalem that day and the Lord Jesus was standing there talking to them, and He started ascending, started going up, and they just stood there looking. Christ lost gravity. He's going back where He come from. And He started ascending. And all of a sudden, those two fell stand beside and said, you men of Israel, why stand you gazing up into the heaven? Said, this Jesus who went up like this, the same one, He's coming back the same way. He went up in the clouds, He's coming back just like He went. And where did He ascend to? Sat down, after He purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We seen Him ascend. We saw Him go back up there with the victory. We saw Him with all the... He went back up there, led captivity captive. And He sits in God's right hand. All power vested in Him right now. Oh, my. And then look what happened after that happened. After all she saw and all she heard and all she did. Look what followed now. It says the last part of verse 4, she was humbled. There was no more spirit in her. I ain't fighting no more. I'm just giving up. This is just more. No more spirit in her. Oh, she was humbled. She was humbled. She's like Paul on the Damascus Road. He's put down. He got down in the dust. Nothing else to do. And oh my, it's like Daniel said, his comeliness has turned into corruption. And when John saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he fell as a dead man. That's the way she was after she'd heard and she'd saw. Now all the questions in her heart was told. She just fell down. She just, oh. And then she confessed that everything she had heard was true. Everything that everybody told me about you was exactly what the way it was. And she said to the king in verse 6, it was a true report that I heard about you. Everything I heard about you is right, it's true, it's so. And look at this. Of all your acts, the things you did, the things you do, and of your wisdom. And watch this now. Howbeit, I believe not the words. Ain't that what it says when that woman left her water pot? She came running in and said, come see a man told me all things ever I did. And many believe because of her testimony, but many believe because they saw for themselves. And she said, I heard. But she said, and then I came, my own eyes seen. And guess what? Everything I heard was so, but listen, they didn't tell the half of it. And we always feel, don't you fellas feel, that we just never told the half of it? I wish I could tell. Don't you, Ezra, wish I could tell the way I feel it. I wish I could tell it out the way I understand it. I wish I could. I'm like old Lloyd Jones. He said he preached twice in his whole life. And he said, I was dreaming both times. And that's the way I feel. How do you tell it? How do you tell it? We come short. How do you tell about Christ? What he's really like to a believer's heart? How do you express what he's done for you? How do you tell about his love? How do you tell about his grace? How do you tell about the tenderness? And how do you tell about how he opened your heart? How do you tell about how he enlightened you? How do you tell about what he means to you and what you understand about him and your love that he has for you? And how do you tell these things? How do you tell? I don't know. But whatever we say, we're so far short of it that we just barely touch the hem of the garment. But I tell you what, I'm going to keep telling it as long as he gives me breath. I'll tell my little half. I'll give you half a report. I'll be like to her. So I'll tell you half of it. I enjoy telling you my half. And I love to hear these fellas tell their half. You tell your half, you tell your half, you tell your half. And after a while, between your half, my half, and his half, we'll end up having a hole. Oh, my. She confessed, and she said, I had to come see for myself. I had to come see for myself. And then look what she done. Down there in verse 9, here's what she said. Blessed be the Lord thy God. He delighted in you. Oh, God delights in His Son. And that's what we say, blessed be the Lord God, which delights in you. What's this? He's the one that set you on the throne of Israel. He's the one that made you come up. Who is this that cometh? Open up your old everlasting doors. Open up your gates. The King of Glory is coming. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord glorious in victory. He set you on the throne. God set him on his throne. And here's why he done it. Because the Lord loved Israel forever. Don't that make you happy all over? Why did he set him on his throne? Why did he delight in him? Because he loved us. I loved Israel. I'm going to give them all. And loved. How long have you loved them? With an everlasting love. Oh. Oh my. Ain't that something? Look what she done now. And I'm through. In verse 10, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices. Now what this tells us is, and that, now we don't give him anything to add to him. She never added to Solomon at all. And whatever we, you know, And all we are to give to Christ is ourselves. I beseech you by the mercies of God, Paul said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He don't need anything we got. But beloved, we give him all we are and all we have. You know, if he saved you 90%, you give 90%. If he saved you 50%, you give him 50%. If he saved you all over, give him all you. Huh? Ain't that right? Lord bless you.